Open your Bibles, Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12. Again, thank you for coming out. You've come to worship the King, and so that's why it's important. It's important that we assemble together, and I love that you're here, love that you're tuning in. Those of you that are home, look, I tell people this, if you don't feel safe, don't drive, but it's good that you're here this morning. Luke chapter 12, Jesus is speaking here, and just look at verse 1, and I'll just make a comments, and I'll read 1 through 12, but look at this. In the meantime, it's just, In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another. You get the scene? There's so many people that they're stepping on each other. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, so that's the part I wanted you to understand. So here's this, look at this scene again. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all. So this message are for those that are following Jesus Christ. So again, I tell you this all the time, the Bible's mainly written to believers in Jesus Christ. Those that are truly following him, not just those that say it with their mouth. He's going to deal with the mouth today. It's easy to say, I love Jesus. But what does your life say? And so he wants us to know, especially to his disciples, and first of all to his disciples, and then it's a broader message as well. If you're lost this morning, and that's a Bible terminology that says you're lost in your sins, you're not saved from your sins, you haven't been rescued from your sins, if you're lost in your sins this morning, this would be good counsel for you. It's about the mouth. You know, I mean, there's a little old little kid song, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down below. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, when we read this passage is actually, I don't even know what it looks like, what he's talking about, but it's a little terrifying. I think you're going to love how he just deals with everything, because there's going to be one spot in this message where you're like, it'd be better to say nothing, because I'm going to answer for everything. And that is more terrifying to a guy like me that always has something to say. Oh, you're going to love the day I have to answer for all that, right? But you quiet people, you get on my nerves. You know what I'm telling you? I love this passage. This passage is so good. It terrifies guys like me that says, I should shut up more. That would be good. That would be good. But it also says for you quiet people, you better speak up more. Are you a quiet person? No, he's not a quiet person. Not a quiet person. All right, so maybe you're in the middle. But it's this. Jesus covers it all. He covers it all. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. I tell you this morning, here's what we want. We want to help you know the Bible, but not just know the Bible. We want to help you know the God of the Bible, and the God of the Bible, his name is Jesus Christ. I want you to have a personal relationship with him. Please don't leave today without you getting with me. If it's a lady, we'll get you with a lady. Men with men, doesn't have to be me. We want you to know God's word so that you can know Christ personally. It's not about assembling together. This is a part of God's plan. We weren't intended to be alone, but it's this. Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? And the only way to know that for sure is you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that this morning, I beg you, humble yourself and just tell me. And then make it my responsibility to make sure you're taught. That's all we want to do. That's all we want to do is make sure you know what the Bible says, so you know what the God of the Bible requires for eternal life. And it's simple faith in the one who did all the work, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought or what thing ye shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Title of the message this morning, just the hypocrisy of the mouth. I want to walk you through this. This is talking about what we say. Because, again, look at verse 1. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Basically, a basic definition, and it's reasonably consistent with the official definitions of hypocrisy. But the basic definition of hypocrisy is to say one thing and do another. You see, everybody I meet says, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a good person. It's so rare for me to meet people that say, I'm in trouble because of my sin. I have sinned against the holy God, and I'm in trouble. Very rare for me to find that. Everybody says, I'm good with Jesus. I love God. I believe in God. And their life is completely different. And so, just understand that Jesus, what he does is he warns here. He says, beware of religious hypocrisy. And it's just, it's so important. It's one of the biggest excuses that people that want an excuse use. And so we better not fall into that. If you want to have people as an excuse for why you don't serve the Lord, the devil will give you plenty of people. There'll be plenty of people in your life that will let you down in the name of the Lord. And if that's what it's going to take to derail you from following and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil will find somebody for you that will let you down more than you could ever imagine. And so here's what I want to tell you. I don't want to be one of those people. And so here's just a few verses that I've just given you that talk about hypocrisy. Matthew 23, 28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. Okay? That is, if you're going to be righteous, you will appear righteous unto men, but it's not just about the appearance. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. It's this. It is that you say one thing and you don't believe it and you don't care. And so, I don't know. Are there adults in our midst? See, my guess is, I think most adults sitting in here this morning, I think I know you. I think you want to do what's right. I look around and there's not one person here where I think, you're just a faker. But I guess there's probably fakers here. But I think about this, it's the children, right? It's the children. And it's young people, right? Young people, and I don't call teenagers children per se, but those that are still under the authority of their parents. There's probably young people here. I love this. Last week I asked William, I said, you know, William, are you still lost? I had a good time with him in Vacation Bible School when I had the teens, and he said, I am. And I said, I love that, William, that you're honest. I said, William, do you want to be here? I expected William to say, no, I have to. I thought he had to come. And I thought his mom made him come and, no, it was Junior I was talking to, excuse me, Junior and Jocelyn. So it was Junior, yeah, it wasn't me. So just in case you guys, who am I talking about? So it was Junior and Jocelyn. So it was Junior, and he said, no. So I thought maybe his mom made him come, and he did. He said, I want to be here. And so he was just honest. He knew he was lost. And I said, well, why, if you want to be here, I said, would you want to be saved? And see, I wasn't trying to do some kind of, you know, mental maneuver on him. And he said, I do. He goes, I just don't understand. I said, what is it you don't understand? So we talked a little bit, and I'm going to follow up with Junior a little bit more. But it is so, you know, so every one of our children, I'm going to say, under the authority of a home, do you want to be here? I believe that, Elijah. I believe you want to be here. That's good. I love that he's answering my question. You know, so I want all of our young people to answer this question. Do you want to be here? Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the one that you want to live for? And if I lost everything, the one thing I don't want to lose is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Is Jesus here? Is he really here? And so hypocrisy, right? It's just Matthew chapter 23, verse 28. Then 1 Timothy says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, so we're in the latter times, the latter days, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's people are just, you know what, you're going to be, I'm tired of it. I'm going to make up my own stuff. Here's what we need to do. We need to know the Bible, follow the Bible, and know the God of the Bible. But here's what will happen. You get tired of it in the latter times, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. You'll speak lies and hypocrisy, having your conscience seared with a hot iron. Look at Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God. Everybody tells me they know God. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Will you turn over for me? I just want to give you just an overview of the tongue. Before we jump into the tongue, look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Well, probably one of the most, succinct summaries of the tongue. And so, I want to read verses 3 through 10. I don't think it's going to need a lot of explanation because I think it's pretty straightforward. James chapter 3, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. That's where it's at in the Bible. So if you find Revelation, just back up just a little bit. If you go to Hebrews, you've gone too far. It's right after Hebrews. James chapter 3, verse 3. James chapter 3, verse 3 says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us and we may turn about their whole body. It is an amazing thing, the power of horses. And you go, put a bit in their mouth and it's like, turn them, and this massive beast that could whoop your hide, could buck you off him anytime he wants. He's like, right? Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a small helm, just a little rudder. Whithersoever the governor listeth, it's something little will control the something big. Verse 5 uses this. Even the tongue is a little member, teeny weeny, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It's talking about the tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. Not an animal we can't tame, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. How much truth there is. What damage we can do with our words. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. Oh, that ought not to be, which are made after the similitude of man. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Oh, Christian, God's calling our tongues, God's calling our words to be different than before we were saved. You understand that? I'm not going to heaven because I control this tongue. But I will tell you, my tongue will be either a vessel for good or evil. If you're lost today and you don't know Jesus, this is good advice for you. Control your tongue. The old song, there's so many songs. If you can't say something nice, say nothing. Take a bit of good advice. Nobody knows this song? My wife does, so we'll sing a duet next week. Say nothing, right? It's good, right? That's good advice. And so beware of religious hypocrisy, which is to say one thing and then live a life that's a lie. You know, this morning you say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. Then get things right with God. Because this, we want to walk the talk. If you're a Christian, you want to walk the talk. And you know, you can't change yesterday. How about just getting right with God today and let's finish Sunday well? How about texting somebody, calling them, or if you're around them, tell them face to face, will you forgive me for the horrible, mean words that I said? And so you know what? We try to be mean sometimes, yes? Then we need to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. It was wrong. Doesn't matter whether they deserved it or not. I'm just telling you. Oh, Christian, be careful of the tongue. Here's the second thing. This is crazy. Look at verse 2. Everything will be revealed. Look at this. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Just in case you were wondering what he's talking about specifically, look at verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Folks, I don't know how this is going to be manifest. Do you understand what this says? The Bible says we'll be judged for every idle word that we speak. It's so amazing when true science catches up to the Bible. You know this, the sound of, or the speed of sound. You know this, in outer space, this is so cool. Every word ever spoken in the history of mankind is out there. It's just so crazy. It's just the speed of sound. It's like how many years it's been, that's how far those words are. And God says this, you'll answer for everyone. That's what he says. He says, therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear of closets, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I want you to understand. Oh, Christian, here's the key. If you're truly saved, if you're born again, if you've been given new life in Christ, you will not be punished for your sins. Jesus Christ took your punishment, and God is satisfied by faith in his Son. You will not be punished for your sins. So make sure you don't misunderstand me this morning. Oh, but I want to tell you, you will answer for every word that you've said. That's daunting. You guys, I've taken you guys there. For some of you who don't know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 says, at the judgment seat of Christ, we will answer for everything, whether good or bad. And it says, then knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's terrifying, isn't it? It is so terrifying, you can't imagine how much I wish I was a quiet person. Oh, because God's not in a hurry at the judgment. You understand this? My judgment is going to be longer than yours. I speak more than a woman. Now, that's not me putting women down. Women are known for speaking more than men, right? Right? Not in this case. I'm embarrassed by that because it's not manly. Right? I wish I could be just like, yes. You know, you ladies. You know what, ladies? You should be thankful. My wife wishes I would shut up more. She does. She's the only woman I know. She goes, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I go, well, we're going to talk through this. We're going to talk it out. We're going to talk it out, honey. And she's like, she doesn't want, I talk too much. You're like, I know. Would you get with it this morning? And I want you to pause. Oh, Christian, what you say matters. I mean, I just want you to read this verse again. Look at this. Look at verse 3. I don't even know how this is going to happen, but Jesus isn't speaking in hyperbole. He's not speaking in exaggeration. This is literal. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And just one more comment. Oh, Christian, we seem to think that when Jesus forgave us of our sins, and he does, that there'll be no accountability for our lives. You've misunderstood the Bible. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Absolutely true. And at the same time, I'm going to answer for every word I've spoken. Justly so. I don't know what that looks like. And really, just to be clear, that's not enough to motivate me, but it does help me on days that I'm very conscious of this. Don't say it. And I'll be better off. The tongue. Did you understand, did you kind of grasp this, where I said there's going to be a part of the message where you can kind of conclude, the best thing I can do is never speak, because then I won't have to answer it. I mean, when you understand this, I dread the day, because apparently I have amnesia, because my wife, you know how wives remember everything perfectly. I mean, you know, she can't remember what happened yesterday, but, you know, 7 years, 2 days, and 5 hours ago, she's like, no, that's exactly what you said. I'm like, what? And so I just know this, that we have disagreements, that's exactly what I said, but when the Lord says that's exactly what I said, I think I'm going to be humbled and say, you're right. Folks, understand this. This is a blessing, and it's an instrument set on fire from hell if we don't submit it to the Lord. And so it's a big deal. Hypocrisy of the mouth was our title. Now, I want to show you this. This is so cool. I love the Bible. For those of you that don't understand the fear of God, this is a great passage that I think is going to balance the fear of God. It's going to help us understand the fear of God. Look at verse 4 and 5. So it is. It's just so good. He says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. That's it. No big deal. And after that, have no more that they can do. Once you kill somebody, what can you do? They're dead. Right? He says, don't worry about the people that can kill you. Here's what he says. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. It's such a great perspective. Now, you're going to understand this. There, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And you better understand this, and I better understand this. He is God, and I am not, and I will answer to him. Understand this. If I am saved because just simple faith in Jesus Christ, and God will evidence that in my life. You don't have to guess if you're saved. You're going to know that. You don't have to guess if an apple tree is an apple tree. And if you're truly saved, God's going to show you in his word. He's going to give you the proof. He's going to confirm it in your heart. The Holy Spirit will confirm it in your heart that you're truly his. You don't have to walk around going, he loves me, he loves me not. No, it's when you're saved, you know it. So I will not answer for, and I won't be punished for my sin, but I will tell you this, it is, I need to fear the Lord. And here's what it means. I want you to see this. There's a couple things. One, proper fear does not remove trust. Look at verse 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than you are of more value than many sparrows. It's God's care includes the most minor details. Here's the thing. Here's the balance of he says this. In the same passage, he says, don't fear them that can just kill the body, but fear him that can kill the body and damn your soul to hell. But then he says, fear not. How do you balance all this? Well, let's try to balance it. It's this. One, proper fear of the Lord does not remove trust, because we can trust him. He takes care of sparrows. Now, I told you this before. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I thought, man, I don't ever remember my dad hitting birds. And I just thought, that is amazing. You know, did you ever see these birds? Man, it's like, whoa, how did that bird know that? And I mean, I was like, I never remember my dad hitting a bird. Man, when I got my license, it's like, pew, 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 man, I am just hitting birds left and right, and I'm not going that fast, right? I mean, I killed a lot of birds, right? I've had them in my grill. I pull them out, right? And it's like, so he cares for the sparrows that I'm picking off one by one. Right? And he says, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? I didn't break my heart. I hit a dog once. I sattered with that when I hit the bird, right? And so there's a little, you know, pecking order for me, right? What I do with the dog, I don't ask. But it is, hit a dog, it kind of got me. You know, hit a bird, no big deal. But God says this, five sparrows sold for two farthings. Who cares about the sparrows? God does. He says, not one of them's forgotten before God. Not one of them. A stupid sparrow. Boing. The next bird I kill. I hope I don't kill any more birds. It's been a while. And let me ask you this, because you guys are looking at me like, we got a serial bird killer here. Let me be honest. How many of you have hit a bird before, huh? All right, I feel better. You guys, stop looking at me that way then, okay? I'm not excited about hitting the birds. My point was, you know, the next time I hit a bird, I want to be very conscious of this. God, I'm glad you cared for that bird and didn't forget him. Man, he's forgotten. He's dead now, but it is. But here's the point. Did you guys feel bad when you hit a bird? Okay, some of you guys a little tender-hearted toward birds. I'm not. But it's this. He cares about the birds. He'll take care of you. We need to fear God because he's the one that we will answer to for eternity. And he says this, but we can trust him. You see, it's a beautiful balance, and there can be terrible family situations, so this is always sensitive bringing this up. But a good father in a home that is not abusive, right? And there's terrible abuse that happens. A good father, his children will fear him. But his children will also run to him knowing there's nobody that loves me more than my dad. You understand this? But it's like this. No, I don't think I'll mess with my dad today. I don't think that'd be a good idea. But I know this. You better not mess with me because my dad will take care of you. You know, they just know that you love them, but they also know this. Not the day to take on my dad today. You know, but they should know, Dad. Nobody will have their back more than you. Nobody will love them more than you. But you did. You spoke to your mother? You said what? And they know, Dad, please forgive me. Father. You know, it's like, it is. You know, it's good that they would understand that. See, I just know this. I have no idea what holiness is. And we sang about it this morning. He is holy. I need to fear the Lord, and I need to know this. He cares for me. He knows the hairs on my head. He cares for the things that are irrelevant to us. He cares about the minor details. And I want to tell you this. He says, don't fear people. All they can do is kill you. He says, fear me, and I will take care of you. Fear me, and I'll show you how to live. Fear me, because I'm the one that made you, and I love you more than anybody, but you've got to understand, you don't know everything. And so it's just good advice. And then verse 8 and 9, he gets back to confession of God before men is identifying. Use those words, confession of God before men is identifying. Let's look at verse 8 and 9 again. Again, this is to people that are professing that I'm a follower of Christ. He says, and he said, I say unto you, verse 8, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. I could take you back, for sake of time, I won't. I believe what this is talking about is your life. It's a life of confession or a life of denial. Because we all know this, Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Is Peter going to hell? Not according to the Bible. He was clean, Jesus said. So he had 3 terrible moments sometime between midnight and 9 a.m. where he said, I don't know the man. And he denied Jesus very specifically. But you all know this, the scriptures. Was Peter's life of denial that Jesus was the Christ, the very Son of God? Was Peter's life a denial that Jesus was the Christ? Absolutely not. So you know this, aren't you glad? Because there's times you blow it. you didn't speak up for the Lord and you should have. If that's what he's talking about, I'll see you in hell. He's not talking about perfection, but he's talking about this. What is your life? Is your life a life that speaks of Jesus Christ, that confesses Jesus Christ before men, that says this, and it's not hypocritically. It's when we confess before men, we ought to tell them this, man, I am not telling you that I'm a good person. Life's not about me. I want to tell you about a perfect Savior. See, I want you to know this. What he said earlier, he said this, you'll answer for everything you say, period. Folks, it's real. We need to grasp that. There's going to be a reality. If you overthink it, you'll say, it'd be better off for me to say nothing, not when it comes to Jesus Christ. Is there a compulsion within you? It's one of the greatest identifiers. Are you a Christian? Is there something within you that says, I'm going to talk about Jesus? Oh, I know there's something in you that says, don't. It's called your flesh, right? There's something in you that has really spiritual sounding excuses, right? But does the compulsion win? It'll tell you whether you're his or not. It's one of the greatest identifiers. Going to church, God doesn't speak about church attendance a lot. He says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's even more important for us to assemble together as the end times are closer. That's kind of it. The whole New Testament is written to churches primarily. But I want to tell you this. Going to church doesn't identify you as a Christian. You know, it's just like, you've heard me say this. You can sit in a car and it doesn't identify. You can sit in a garage, it doesn't identify as your car. Right? Tons of people go to church. And they're not anywhere close to heaven because they think it's by what I do, how I behave. You see, what you do and how you behave is a picture and it's a representation of what you are. If you're a true Christian, you will do the things of God. And here's one of the greatest things. You will confess him before men. It has nothing to do with personality. I'm not preaching my personality here. I tell you this. You should be thankful you don't have my personality. I'm thankful I have my personality. It took me about 40 years to be thankful because I used to hate my personality because I know this is a shocker. I can make people mad. And more people would dislike me than probably will dislike you, and I got tired of making people mad. It doesn't even matter if I was right. There was a time in my life where I said, oh yeah, you got upset, but I was right. Who cares? Jerk, shut up, right? That's what I should have done. I just need to submit my tongue, my personality to the Lord. It's not personality. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within you. If you're saved, you will confess. It's not because you have to. Don't leave here going, I better confess or I'm not going to heaven. No, the question you should ask is, how come I don't confess the Lord Jesus Christ? How come I don't tell people about Jesus? It's probably because you don't have anything to give because you don't have him. Understand that. It's the number one identifier. When I meet somebody that has children, and I ask the kids, not the parents. I know this is terrible. Do your parents tell you about Jesus? No. You know what I know right away? Those aren't saved parents. Right? If you're saved, you want your kids to be saved, and you're going to teach them about Jesus. That's the easy confession. You don't do the easy part. I know you're not doing the hard part. Everybody tells me, oh, I'm a Christian. But what about when I'm not around, nobody's around, are you telling people about Jesus Christ? Let it be an identifier. Don't then go try to do that. If you aren't telling people about Jesus, it's because you aren't his. I'm talking about the pattern of your life. Oh, I know. I've blown it every week of my life where I should speak of Jesus. And I've told you, I go to Thornton's a lot. And the guy paid for it. Normally they give me free Diet Mountain Dews. This morning he goes, I'm paying for it, preacher. I go, you're not paying for it. He goes, I already did. I go, I didn't want him to pay for it. But it is, they know that there. So, you know, I've gone to Thornton's and I don't always pass out tracts. I told you this happened twice. I should be convicted about it. I turn around to leave and somebody goes, hey, you got one of those pieces of paper you give people? I'm like, oh, I do. Let me hey, Rich, here you go. What's your name? You know how embarrassing that is? A lost person had to ask me for a piece of paper that told them they knew it was about God. And I didn't have enough care for Jesus Christ first and enough love for somebody that's going to hell to just give them a piece of paper. And yet, so I want you to understand this, though. I can look at my life, and I know the compulsion. Do you understand the compulsion? Do you understand it's like this? I must tell people about Jesus. Too many stories of me being on an airplane. And my wife, I tell you what, she embarrasses me sometimes because she's just like, I mean, she's like, you know, gets on the loudspeaker. Hey, everybody, I want to tell you about Jesus. I'm like, honey, oh my gosh. And she just starts talking to me. She rips their headphones off their head and just starts telling them, you know, I mean, she doesn't do that, but I love it. She's super aggressive. And I'm always like, well, you know, I gotta ease into it, right? And I love it. She teaches me a ton. Always a positive interaction. And it bothers me. I said, well, why is my, I think when you love Jesus more, what's there better to talk about? And so I want to tell you this. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you're not saying. Are you talking about Jesus? Don't manufacture it today. Just answer in your own heart. Are you telling people about the greatest person, the greatest and only God that's ever come to this earth and died for them? You see, if not, ask yourself why. Let's read verse 8 and 9, and I'm not far from a close. I am going to preach twice as long today because I'm not preaching tonight. That's what you guys worry. I can see it in your face. Verse 8, also I say to you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Folks, that's terrifying. And then I'm going to take it just to the final thought. It's we must honor the Holy Spirit. Look at this. He says, verse 10, he says, so it's first thing I want you to see is don't speak evil of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus. Jesus, one of the messianic titles is Son of Man. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. So it's what's crazy. You hear people just running Jesus down. Jesus says, that's wrong, but I'll forgive it. Then he says this. He says, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Not going to go into this in detail. Talk to me about it later. I don't believe that you can commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's okay if you disagree with me. So it's not crystal clear in the scriptures. I think it's when they attributed the works of Christ to the devil. That's the context. And I don't think it was when Jesus was physically here. But the principle is this. How dare we speak evil against God and his work? And God's work is always done by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. How dare we speak evil? Oh, Christian, I want you to understand this. I'm just going to caution you. We ought to be the last people on social media criticizing anything that might possibly be right. We ought not to be anyone on social media telling anyone that they're wrong. It's my opinion. It's okay if you want to have a one-on-one dialogue with somebody and have a private conversation, but oh, be careful, Christian. You know, because sometimes I'm not sure if it's God. I don't want to be caught speaking evil against God, do you? It's a big deal. You know what I'm telling you we should spend our time on? Speaking of Jesus Christ. I have little to no interest in sparring with people on social media because I've never seen any great value except it really makes Christianity look really bad. Makes us look like a bunch of fighting haters. And the other thing is sometimes I'm not sure which side's right. And both sides are kind of mean. Christians, we got the mean thing down good. That's not good. We need to get the love thing down. And just love... So if any of you have said anything negative on social media, I am not aware of it, because it would have to show up in between Judge Judy clips, and I am doing better. And anyway, you all look at cooking YouTube clips as well, right? Because we're always like, I would love to eat that, right? I just don't want to fix it, right? So, or that's an age thing. The 20-somethings are like, no, we don't watch food. You watch food clips? Oh, that's good. I feel better. Watch food. Oh, I feel better. I feel better. So let me ask you. You watch food clips, Erica? Do you? Oh, I feel so much better. I feel so much better, right? Because I was afraid it was aging me, because if all the young people said, no, I don't, I'd be like, neither do I. But here, I'm just telling you, so I don't know of anybody out there doing that. I'm just telling you this. Oh, Christian, you know what we ought to do? We ought to exalt Christ. We ought to be an encourager of believers. And be careful that you think you know what's right and wrong. When the Bible says it, I'll speak to people clearly. When they want to tell me something the Bible says is not true, I'm going to lovingly, one-on-one, just tell them, well, that's not what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says right here. And who should I believe? You or the Bible? And I'm going to do it very nicely, hopefully. It's this. God will help us with what to say when trouble comes. Do you see this whole message, this whole passage is on the tongue. Jesus says this. Look at this, verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, because of this, you want to serve the Lord, the devil's not going to like it. You want to serve the Lord, he's going to stir up people against you. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer and what you shall say. And he says this, trust the Holy Spirit to teach us to say the right things. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. And ask the Lord. I want to tell you this. It's so important. Are you confessing before men? You say, what do I say? If you're saved, if you're truly born again, here's what you could do. You could walk up to people, and this is a perfect time, and tell people this. Do you have eternal life? See what they say. Do you have eternal life? And they might be like, what is that? And that would be the average response you'll get today. Do you have eternal life? And they say, what is that? Well, let me tell you, it's that you will never die. That's heavy. Jesus said, he that believeth on me shall never die. See, we're all thinking about this old carcass. I just want you to know this. This old carcass is not the real Steve. Mm-mm, it's not. It's not. My carcass is going to die, but the real Steve is the guy looking out of these eyeballs. And there's a new Steve after Jesus saved me. You can ask people, just say, do you have eternal life? And if you're saved, you ought to be able to tell them, let me tell you what the Bible says is necessary for eternal life. Let me tell you about the God of the Bible. He's way better than we think. He's so good, he knew how rotten we were. We are rotten to the core. There's not one good thing about us. Isn't that just shocking that the Bible says there's none good, no, not one? There's none that even doeth good. There's none that does good. Nobody does good. Are you kidding me? And yet there's this great verse, for God so loved the world that hated him, the world that has despised him, the world which includes me, that said, you know what? I don't care what you say. I'm going to do this anyway. Every single person in here, young and old, you've all had those moments where you basically said, I don't care, because we didn't have the proper fear of God. But God sent his own son. And Jesus, he took my punishment. He was punished because he took upon himself my sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Because he became my sin, his body had to die. And it did. And on the third day, he rose from the grave, and he conquered sin and he conquered death. And by faith in his work, in faith in who Jesus is, you will have eternal life. And the spiritual component of you will never die. You see, it's that simple. And if somebody says, I don't want to hear it, then you don't have to cram it down their throat. Do not. You'll be blown away how many people stand there and listen to you. You tell me your experience. And you guys aren't as crazy as I am. 95 out of 100 people will stand there and listen to you. Yeah. Use the tongue for good. If you're not using it for good, you know what you'll use it for? Evil. Nothing neutral. For God or for evil. It's an overwhelming message to the Christian. God's not interested in guilt. He's interested in conviction that'll lead to repentance and getting right with Him. If you've used your tongue inappropriately, you know, it's I'm not even talking about cursing and swearing. That ought to be part of your life. You ought to get rid of it. Every time you curse and swear, you ought to go, "Would you forgive me?" That is no place for a Christian mouth. Ah, but it's worse. Even during this message, the devil reminds me of something I told one of my kids one time. Can't take it back. It's now been 14 years since I said that. Can't take it back. Cut to the heart. I've wept over it. God's forgiven me. One of my children, they've forgiven me, but the wound is there. I see it all the time. See it all the time. The tongue. It can be life, and it can be death. How about using that tongue for the glory of God? Are you a Christian this morning? If you are, God owns this too. And we'll confess Him before men. Let's pray.